Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 26, beginning with the first verse. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." The chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ. Now, people say that timing is everything. And bad timing certainly isn't good. Now, we've all seen it happen when a joke falls flat. Not because the joke isn't funny, but because the timing is completely inappropriate. Or maybe you plan a trip halfway across the country to your favorite amusement park, and when you get there, you realize the park is closed for 2 weeks for cleaning and repair. On the other hand, good timing is great. That perfectly timed photo that captures that perfect moment that simply can't be duplicated. Or take the story of Greer Epstein, a woman from New York City who decided to take a rare smoke break on the morning of September 11, 2001. And when she walked outside, that was when the plane crashed into her building where her office was on the 67th floor. Timing is everything, they say, especially as we make our plans. Tonight's example of irony from the Lord's Passion is all about timing. It's found in a simple statement given by the Jewish leaders as they plotted to kill Jesus, and they said, "Not during the feast." It was Tuesday of Holy Week when they said this. By this point in time, Jesus and his disciples have already had a busy week. On Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with the people shouting his praises as if he was a king. The next day, Jesus and his disciples went into the temple, and Jesus saw all the abuses that were going on in the temple, and he overturned the money-changing tables and drove away those who were selling animals. The next day, on Tuesday, Jesus and his disciples again entered into the temple. And there he was attacked by Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests and teachers of the law. They tried to trap him into some sin. And he soundly defeated them in front of all the people. And then Jesus and his disciples left to go to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus taught his disciples about the end of the world. At the same time Jesus was meeting with those on the Mount of Olives, the chief priests, the elders of the people, they also had a meeting in the high priest's house, Caiaphas. They had to do something about Jesus. Now, they had their problems with Jesus in the past. They had been arguing with him for 3 years. But things were coming to a head. He came into Jerusalem as if he ruled the place. Now he was usurping their authority. He was humiliating them in front of the people. They had to do something about Jesus. So they decided to kill him. But they all agreed, not during the feast, or there may be a riot among the people. The feast we're talking about, of course, is the Passover feast, the major festival for the Jews. It was a pilgrimage festival. Jews from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. Jerusalem would have hundreds of thousands of people there. It'd swell. With such large crowds, a riot would be catastrophic. So they planned to wait a week or so. That way the crowds would be down and Jerusalem would be relatively quiet once again. They also wanted to do it in some sly way, perhaps secretly, not causing too much of a stir so they wouldn't anger the people. Now, why did these Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus? Not simply because he was showing them the right way, contrary to what they believed. No, they were concerned about their power and authority. They saw Jesus as a threat. They weren't just the religious leaders of the people. They also had a lot of political power. The Romans thought it was easier and cheaper to let the Pharisees and Sadducees and so on, let the Jews govern themselves to keep their own people in check. They saw Jesus as a menace. Jesus as a threat not just to what they believed and taught, but a threat to their positions of power. So they wanted to put him to death. Now, no one here wants to kill Jesus. Obviously, you don't share that same hatred for Jesus that the Jewish leaders did. But the motivation, or what laid behind the reason why they wanted to kill Jesus, that lays in our hearts as well. It's a selfishness. It's being more concerned about yourself than about God or others. It's being more concerned about your position or your happiness than Christ. It's telling God what you want and when you want it. And being upset when you don't get what you want. It's telling him that your life is more important than what he wants and more important than the lives of others. Every time we whine and complain, every time when we grumble about our plans that don't seem to pan out, when we hold grudges or try to get even with others who treat us wrong. Every time we fail to show love, we are showing that the same sinful selfishness and arrogance lies in our hearts just as it lied in the teachers of the law who wanted to kill Jesus. Now those Jewish leaders, they plotted to kill Jesus, just not during the festival. But what happened? Now, as we know, Jesus was killed during the festival, in the major day of the festival, during the day of Passover itself. It wasn't the plan of the Jewish leaders, but it happened anyway. It was also their plan to kill Jesus secretly, to kill him with deceit or treachery. But that's not what happened either. It was death by crucifixion, a very public thing. Well, the Jewish leaders, they were given a lot of authority, but one thing they couldn't do was put someone to death. So at first they used deceit. They used deceit to have Jesus arrested. Then they had an illegal court, a kangaroo court, if you will, in the middle of the night. But they couldn't put Jesus to death. So they had to take Jesus to Pilate. Pilate, the Roman governor, is the one who had to sentence Jesus to death. So they took him early in the morning, preferably before the crowds were up. But it wasn't a short trial. Pilate wasn't buying their argument. Again and again, he told the Jews, "This man is innocent of any wrongdoing." But then crowds began to appear. Eventually, Pilate asked, "Well, should I release to you this man called Barabbas, this notorious criminal, or Jesus?" So then the leaders of the people, they riled up the crowd so that they demanded Barabbas. "What should I do with Jesus then?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" they shouted. That definitely wasn't sly. It wasn't done in secret. It was done out in the open. Jesus was condemned to death. They forced him to carry his cross through the town to Calvary. Crucifixion was a horrible way to die. It was supposed to send a message. So the crucifixions always took place by a major road so that many people would pass by. A sign was placed above them so that everyone could see for what crime this person committed that he was being put to death. We read that everyone who passed by hurled insults at him. Did you catch all the different ironies in that? The Jewish leaders, who had planned to kill Jesus secretly after the festival, instead were heavily involved in publicly crucifying Jesus on the busiest day of the year. Now, they wanted to do this because they were afraid of how the people were going to act. These people who loved Jesus and praised him, they were afraid of a riot. But the irony, one of the ironies, is that the people didn't riot. They sang the praises of Jesus on Sunday, and by Friday they were shouting for him to be crucified. They were just going with the flow, going along with the masses, following others without any real faith or belief, which is what we often see today. So as far as the people's reaction is concerned, it's really not all that surprising, maybe a little ironic. The Jewish leaders probably felt relieved that things didn't go as they planned, and yet it all seemed to work out anyway. Let's go back to Jesus' discussion that he had with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. He said to them, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Now, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had told his disciples about this. He had prophesied about his death again and again. They knew exactly what was going to happen. On the day of the Passover, not after the feast, as the leaders wanted. On the day of the Passover, he wasn't going to be put to death secretly, but publicly, by crucifixion. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he taught and prophesied about it. And it happened, not as the leaders wanted, but as Jesus said. And what does that tell us? The Lord is in charge. Despite their best planned efforts of the Jewish leaders, it didn't happen as they wanted. It happened as the Lord wanted. He chose the exact time and the exact way that his Savior, that the Savior of the world, the one he chose, would die. He chose him to die on the Passover. Because it was the Passover that prophesied, that pointed to Christ. Now, it was that day of Passover, as we talked about on Sunday, that the Jews killed a male lamb without blemish or defect and took the blood of that lamb and posted it on the doorposts so that during the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn, the angel would pass over their house and not put to death. And thus, God saved the people from slavery. Well, on the day of this Passover, by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, by sacrificing himself, he saved us from the slavery of sin. On the cross, he was abandoned to the sufferings of hell as a father laid on him all the shame of our sins. The eternal scorn that all people deserve for our selfishness, for our pride, for our arrogance, was suffered and endured by Christ. He died so that he could rise. So that we too would rise and live with him in heaven forever. The Lord wanted Jerusalem to be filled with people, bursting at the seams, so that many people could see exactly the fulfillment of the promise they had been waiting for thousands of years. A promise he made 15,000 years ago with the Passover. Despite the plans of the Jewish leaders, the Lord determined when and how the Savior would die. Crucified on the day of Passover, to remove our sins and give us eternal life. They say timing is everything. The Jewish leaders planned to kill Jesus in a specific way at a specific time, but that wasn't God's plan. The Lord is always in charge of all of our lives. The Lord, ironically, wanted his son to die too. But when and how he wanted it. He used the hatred of the Jewish leaders to bring our Savior to the cross on the day of Passover, so that by the sacrifice of that Passover lamb, our sins are removed and eternal life is won for us. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.